Thank you. Well, this has been a class on how to keep fear from scaring you today. Life seems to prepare us to be scared of things because we can't predict all the time what will happen. And so one of the things we become scared of are unknown things because things don't always work out. The surprises are not always pleasant in our lives. And if we took the approach of trying to learn how to learn skills to get over each fear that we have, it would not only drive us crazy doing that, but we'd never get around to all of them. If, like, fear of the dark, if we get everybody over here in a corner and say, everybody who's afraid of the dark, come over here, and we'll talk about how to particularly think about the dark so that the dark doesn't scare us. Or fear of strangers, or fear of failure, or fear of any of the things that go on in our minds that cause these anxieties and worries. If we deal with them individually, we'll never get around to all of them, and we'll never have a sufficient answer anyway. So the answer to our fear problem can't really be based on the circumstances. It has to be based on something a lot bigger and more solid than that. It has to be based on a principle of some kind on which we live our lives. And principles are different than circumstances, are they not? It's like if I was, say it's 1782, and I climb up in an apple tree, and I fall out. I'm subject to hitting the ground, am I not? I'll probably hit the ground in direct proportion to the principles of gravity and whatever else is going on at that time. So, okay, let's say then I start a study on apples at that point. And me and then my future generations learn a lot about apples between now and then and develop several strains of them. And we learn about apple trees. And we actually learn how a seed maybe even becomes an apple tree and then produces apples. And we learn a huge store of information on this whole subject of apples and apple trees. Now it's 2012 and May the 6th or whatever it is today. I climb up in an apple tree and I fall out. What's liable to happen to me? I'm liable to hit the ground, just like I did in 1782. And the reason is because gravity doesn't care how much I know. It's totally irresponsive to anything I've learned about any enlightenment I have about apples or apple trees or even gravity. Yeah, I could have learned all there is to know about gravity and I would have still hit the ground. Because gravity operates on a principle that is timeless, and it has no, it doesn't care at all what I think about it. Well, it seems as if the whole world is built on these type of principles. There are principles of life that operate irrespective of a human's intervention or irrespective of a human's enlightenment. And that's why some of the great documents of the world appear timeless. It's because they're not based on circumstances. They're based on principles of human behavior that work across time. So, seasons, you know, fall, spring, and winter, that sort of thing. Those things just go on and on, and the sun usually comes up in the morning and typically goes down at night. And we see the circle of life, you know, things are born and things die. And all of that are based on these principles that are timeless. My suggestion today is that the answer to how we keep fear from scaring us to death is principle-based. So if we can get the principle down right, it'll work all across all across circumstances and across time and across places. Have you ever wondered why the gospel of Jesus produces the same effect on those who gladly receive it, regardless of the time or the place or the person or the language? Why is that? You who have traveled the world some or have read a lot of history books, does it appear to you that those who receive the gospel of Jesus have some things in common, even across 2,000 years? Or a person on the southern tip of South or the middle of South America, and a person in Africa, and a person in Texas who has gladly received the good news of Jesus have these things in common? Why is that? Habit? Pardon me? It's from God. Yeah. I think it's because of just what... Yes, sir. Dave? Yeah. It might be that people are people wherever they are. And this type of information affects them the same wherever they are. 1950s, a guy named Nate Saint and four of his buddies went to South America. What country was that? Ecuador? To a tribe of civilized people called the Wahudani tribe, or Aucas is what they called them. And they landed on a strip of sand in a little yellow airplane on a river, hoping to contact these people. And long story short, they did. The people came out of the woods and came and speared them all and killed them. That was five missionaries. Steve Saint, Nate Saint's son at the time, who was 2 years old, wrote a book called End of the Spear in 05 to 25, I think. An amazing thing happened. One of the wives of the missionaries went back in that country and taught the people and converted those who killed her husband. One of those who killed her husband baptized Steve Saint. He grew up among them. And he grew up among three of the guys who actually participated in the spearing of his dad. What made the difference in these people's lives was they learned about Jesus and they learned about God by the wife of one of these guys who went back in there among them. And these men who were uncivilized type people who didn't speak English and who had not known anything about the God of the Bible or about Jesus, they became the role models and the God-following people to whom Steve Saint looked as he was growing up to learn how to live right. And he noticed some things about those people, and he asked them after he grew up and he was able to talk about the death of his dad with them, and what were they thinking about when they killed all those guys, and what were their thoughts about that. The women and the men participated in the spearing of these people. They were scared. They were afraid that the missionaries, they didn't trust them at all, and they were afraid they'd come in and kill them. But they said, we knew after we did that we had done a bad thing. A guy named Ricardo flies up and down the Amazon River teaching people. And I asked him one time, I said, Ricardo, what do you say to a person who never heard of the Bible? I mean, How do you even broach the subject of a good God who forgives people, and why do they care? He said everybody has something in them that tells them they're not God and that they need one. And everybody has this hole in them that recognizes that they're not good and they'd like to be good. And so the principle of the truth that we learn in the Scriptures carries across time and across places and across people such that you have a common outcome. And that is a really powerful truth for me to learn and a really good thing to know. The root cause of the human lostness is not circumstance-based, it's principle-based. And it has to do with beliefs. My fear isn't based on actually what's happening. Did y'all know that? It isn't really based on the thing that's happening to me. It's based on my belief about the thing that's happening to me. Because if I couldn't think, for instance, and a fella came up to me with a machete and says, "I'm going to cut your arm off," and I couldn't think about it, I wouldn't be scared. And also, if it was a Nerf machete, and I did think about it, I still wouldn't be scared. How come? Nerf is styrofoam. It's like foam rubber. Well, it's because I wouldn't think I was in danger. Or if it was my best friend messing around with me, and he told me, "I'm going to cut your arm off," I still wouldn't be scared because I wouldn't believe him. So don't you just know that the things that scare us are based on our belief about the things rather than about the things themselves? So what I want to do is change my beliefs. So I'm scared all the time. I want to change how I believe about stuff. And it starts with knowledge. It starts with our thoughts. Have you ever heard this scripture? "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." What's that tell you? You become what you think. Listen to this. Finally, brothers, this is in Philippians 4, verse 8. "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." Now why? Yeah. Because we become what we think. That's right. And so my answer to my fear problem is to learn how to think different thoughts and then believe different things. So these lessons are really designed to change my beliefs, change our beliefs. So we come from as many backgrounds as there are people in here. So our circumstances are different, right? And we've learned different things, and some of us have learned to be scared of one thing, some of the other things. But we share the common human problems of mankind. And so the key, then, to helping fear from scaring us to death is essentially found in the fact that this is a Bible class. What we're doing is we're learning new things so that we can believe new things, so that we can live our lives better. And that's really what I want to do. I'd like to talk about the fear of loss for a minute. What would you do if you didn't have anything to lose? Anyone? If you didn't have anything to lose? Go forward. Would you go forward more bravely? Or would just everybody out here do that?
I'm thinking on another person. If they didn't have anything to lose, it depends more courageously. They didn't have anything to lose.
Yeah, if you didn't have anything to lose, it'd give you courage to move forward. Thank you. Is anybody in here? Oh, yes, sir.
And if we had nothing to lose, there would be no risk. Because risk requires an adverse result.
Yeah. Yeah, at least the potential for an adverse result. Right. Thank you.
I have a tendency to believe people would become less motivated.
People would be less motivated if there's nothing to lose. Yeah, you might have to repeat it because people didn't hear you. Did anybody hear Randy? Well, I think maybe summarized a little bit is that maybe if you don't have anything to lose, it might demotivate you. Because if you have something to lose, it makes you more cautious, makes you more protective, makes you more motivated to actually do things. Am I saying that basically right, Randy? Yeah. And basically a little fear is a good thing. Maybe. In previous classes, I made the delineation or made a difference between the things that are good to be scared of and the things that aren't. So it's really not a class on how to not be scared at all, which it might sound like from today's lesson. But there are some definite things that are really, really healthy to be scared of. What we're trying to deal with are the ones that aren't based on truth. If you're being scared of something and it's not based on something that's true, we ought to get rid of that. I mean, we ought to quit doing that. It's not good for us. So, thank you. Any other thought on that? Yeah, Josh. Yeah. So is that good or bad?
Depends on the outcome.
Depends on how it turns out. Yeah, Dan. Thank you. So you can be scared of just losing stuff that's in your mind. Yeah. Well, yes, ma'am, Lorraine. Pardon me? It'd be fine. Is that what you said? Be fine if I had nothing to lose. Oh no, are you? All right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to answer that. Here's what I'm. What I'm actually getting at is, all right, you can ask yourself within your own mind, are you scared of losing anything? That's what I'm getting at. Are you scared of losing something? And is it based on truth? Is it based on something that makes sense from God's point of view? And if it doesn't, how do I get over that? So, yeah, I hear that, what you're saying, and I get lost in my mind when I start thinking about all those details. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Spot on. Thank you. Yes, sir.
And what the message of this is, sometimes we probably take too tight a grip on something that we shouldn't expect to keep, i.e., old age, or excuse me, health. If we expect to be perfectly healthy forever, that's our problem. You know, and the good news is,
thank you. All right. Somebody raise your hand back behind about three times. More bold. Yeah. Are we not called to boldness as people of God? Yeah. Thank you. All right. Was there one last thing here? Oh, Tyrone, you've already spoken twice. So. Yes, sir. I don't know. All right.
So if you don't have anything to lose, then yes, you do have boldness to go do something. How many times have we said in our life, well, I don't have anything to lose, so I'll go ahead and do that? And I think
Thank you. Yeah. If you don't have anything to lose, you'll seek to gain. You'll be more bold. Thank you. Yeah, Jill. Thank you. All right. Yes, sir.
Jesus gave us a parable about the pearl of great price. We have to decide what's important and what's not.
Yeah, there you go. The pearl of great price parable. What's important and what isn't. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right. I noticed a pattern of behavior among people. When you're 20-something and you get out of college or what, if you go to work, a lot of guys ready to conquer the world. Just set them on fire and knock down obstacles, get up early, go to bed late, do a bunch of stuff in order to get ahead. And do that for about 20 years and then gather up some things, like a wife and some children, and gather up a house and put some money in the bank. And that go-get-em attitude tends to go away and be replaced by, used to be attacking stuff, now you're defending stuff. It slowly replaces itself to a defensive posture of, I've accumulated this stuff, now I've got to protect it against whatever might be attacking me. And I've seen that pattern over and over and over in certain among certain people, and I've seen the tendency in me to do that, the very same thing. So the So what I'm seeing is that the fear of losing the stuff that I've gotten makes me adopt a defensive stance when God's calling me to adopt an offensive stance about things. And so it's anti-faith, kind of, to do that and to try to protect the things that we have, although there's an issue of stewardship, though. Also about managing the things that you've been given and that sort of thing. And that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is secluding ourselves with a fence around our yard and a fence around our hearts, keeping us from losing the stuff that we put together that might be attacked. And we lose the initiative to move forward and live our lives. I think that's a problem that has a lot of implications for it in our lives to render us ineffective, to tell you the truth. If I'm depending on a savings account to live, I'm not as likely to be generous as if I'm depending on God to help me if I am generous. And those are the types of things that create this fear I'm talking about. And a lot of it's a fear of things that we can see, fear of losing things that we can see. But one of the most insidious and weird things about a human mind is we can be scared of losing things that we don't even have, and that'll keep us from having the things that we need. I know a girl who's about 30. When she was a teenager, her dad had an affair on her mom, and it really messed up things. And then she got in all kinds of trouble, and And I grew up, and she's about around 30 now. And she doesn't have a boyfriend. And it's not because she's not good, because she's pretty and she's good and she wants to do right. But part of the issue is that she doesn't trust anybody. And so her fear of losing something she doesn't have keeps her from having it. She doesn't have a relationship right now, but she's so scared of losing it, if she gets it, she won't go for it. That's not what we're built for. We're not built for that. And that's what we want to get away from. So the answer to our problems, you know, a human mind is weird. We can look into the future and worry about losing things. We can look into the past, regret things. And where right this minute, maybe nothing bad's happening to us at all. But we can think about it in the past and the future, and it really messes with our minds somewhat. But the answer to both of those problems, the answer to worrying about losing things that we have and the answer to worrying about losing things that we don't even have is faith. Faith in God. And fear, I'd like to submit to you, is just another temptation that wars against our faith. It's just a temptation. It's what it amounts to. Now, I told Tyrone or somebody the other day, I'm real proud of my spiritual maturity because I can overcome anything. I can resist anything except temptation now. Think about that. That's hilarious. But, you know what? I'm learning how to resist temptation. And the answer to that, the answer to my temptation problem is faith. Listen to this. This is Romans 8. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Now, when I'm scared, I don't have peace. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And listen at the benefit of a mind controlled by the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Listen to that. But you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. And if we're God's children, then we're heirs. Now, can you believe that? All right. If you believe it, that's called faith, because you really believe in something you don't see, and you're believing in a God who said it that we don't really see. But the belief in it is real. So can we believe it? A guy named David believed it a lot. Listen to what he said here. This is Psalm 27. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The answer to our fear problem is faith. And when I walk by faith, I'm able to look outside myself. And I'm able to do several things. I'm able to encourage the afflicted because I'm not being so defensive that I'm afraid I'll get afflicted. When I'm walking by faith, I can give to those who are in need because I think if I give to those who are in need, God will give to me to where I won't starve to death. If I walk by faith, I can pray for my enemies because that's how I beat them. I can pray for my enemies because I think I have a God who won't let my enemies overcome me and destroy me totally. Because He has the power over my enemies. When I'm walking by faith, I won't fear of loss because I know if I lose it, it'll be okay or it'll get replaced. Abraham was willing to kill his son because he thought God would replace him. He thought He'd raise him back up. If I'm walking by faith, I can assail the gates of hell instead of being scared of them all the time. And they won't be able to stand against me. And if I'm walking by faith, it gives me power to overcome my temptations. Because if I'm tempted to steal, why would I be tempted to steal if I think God will supply all my needs? Why would I be tempted to avenge myself on my enemy if I believe God will avenge himself on those who need it and forgive those who need that? And finally, if I'm tempted to be afraid, why would I want to be afraid if I have a God who says we're sons of God and we don't need to be afraid? Good thoughts, huh? Good thoughts. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the wonderful time that you've given us here, and thank you for your Bible, and thank you for each person in here, and thank you for the good news that you give us on how to overcome our problems of life and how to live our lives in a way that is most effective for you and that really takes hold of the promises that you give us. Increase our faith as we walk with you. And we thank you for everything, and thank you for Jesus in particular, and for our time together as a little group of your people. And it's through Jesus we give you thanks, and we come to you. Amen.